The Long Haul in Lebanon.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Tess Viglund. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert says his army's offensive in Lebanon will last, quote, as long as necessary. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan is warning of a humanitarian crisis. The Lebanese finance minister tells the Financial Times that economic damage there now tops $2 billion. Times reporter Ferry Biederman is in Beirut. He says critical infrastructure is simply wiped out.
Of course, the airport has been largely destroyed. A lot of the landing strips, other facilities, fuel facilities, a lot of other stuff at the airport has been destroyed. It may take months to have that repaired. Going out of the city south, a lot of bridges are destroyed. The routes south are very difficult to travel now. East towards Damascus, out of the country, the road to Damascus has been bombed again today. Around the city, especially going towards the southern neighborhoods, the Hezbollah strongholds where a lot of the Shia live, there you see a lot of damage to the infrastructure. There are craters in the middle of the street. Hospitals have to be evacuated. So there certainly is a lot of damage there.
Thousands of civilians at this point have fled Beirut and southern Lebanon. Where are they going, and are they able to get emergency aid?
Indeed, hundreds of thousands, according to the Lebanese government, have been displaced, especially from the south and from the southern suburbs of Beirut. They're fleeing into the mountains outside Beirut. The situation there, what I have seen, I've walked around, I've been to some of the centers where the refugees are gathering, and very often schools and other public buildings are being used. It's not comfortable. There was a couple of days ago, there were still shortages of basic things like blankets and mattresses. But it's not desperate. People do have food. They have water, even though sometimes the supply is limited. They're doing everything to provide them with everything, including medicine.
Financial Times reporter Ferry Biederman in Beirut. Three British bankers charged with fraud in the United States will learn today whether they'll be allowed to return temporarily to Britain. The so-called NatWest Three were brought stateside last week after losing a long extradition battle. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The three men have been charged with an Enron-related crime. They're accused of colluding with Enron executives to rip off their employer, a British bank. Since their extradition to Texas last week, they've been free on temporary bonds. But now they want permission to return home to the UK, pending their trial. The homing instinct is understandable, says Andrew Hilton of the CSFI think tank. People accused of white-collar crime tend to get much softer treatment here than in the US.
Here in the UK, they tend to get bail, they tend to go home to their mansions in the countryside, and, you know, they get to prepare their case with their lawyers over a glass of port.
US prosecutors have opposed the men's application to leave the US. Since they fought extradition so long and so hard, the prosecutors say the trio might be tempted to flee. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The Dow fell 83 points yesterday to close at 10,928. The Nasdaq dropped 41 points to end the day at 2039. The S&P lost 10 points to finish at 1249. This is Marketplace. You've probably heard U.S. Airways plans to put ads on air sickness bags this fall. American is considering putting them on cups and napkins. Does any of this really do anything for the bottom line? Here's Ashley Milne-Tite.
U.S. Airways says onboard advertising will bring in more than $10 million this year. That's small potatoes for a major airline, says Joe Brancatelli, who writes a website for business travelers. But the big six air carriers will take any revenue they can get.
The actual business of transporting passengers, the way the legacy carriers do it, is at best marginally profitable and at worst the nightmare it's been in the last 6 years.
He doubts recent positive earnings reports for some legacy carriers will continue because of looming competition from Virgin America and Southwest. If all else fails, he says, U.S. carriers might follow the lead of Europe's Ryanair. The airline says one day it'll get all its revenue from baggage charges and advertising. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
This is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft Dynamics. Business solutions for CRM, supply chain, and financial management. Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Tess Vigeland. NFL Commissioner Paul Tagliabue is set to retire in a few weeks. Owners are scheduled to meet in Detroit on Monday to get the list of candidates to replace him down to a final four. Business of Sports commentator David Carter joins us. David, I also want to touch briefly on developments yesterday in baseball's steroid scandal. But first, let's talk about the NFL commissioner's job. Certainly a plum one.
It's really the most coveted job in the sports industry. And I think over the last several years, under Commissioner Tagliabue, and before that under Pete Rozelle, it's really become the plum job. And it's different from the other commissionerships. When Tagliabue came in, he was really charged with making sure that the league continued to grow through the TV period, through corporate sponsorship and the advent of sports marketing. Very different from the other commissioners. David Stern came in, commissioner of the NBA, drug problems in the sport, franchises in financial disrepair, and he was charged with cleaning it up. Yet other commissioners come on board because the owners want the status quo to remain. So this is a job that everybody wants because there's a tremendous amount of upside to it, and it's been wildly successful in the past. No reason to think that'll change going forward.
So what is the NFL looking for in someone to replace these pretty big shoes? There was some talk early on of Bill Clinton or Condoleezza Rice.
I think it's funny that people would laugh because what you really are looking for is a consensus builder, someone who can marry the different factions of the small market teams, the big market teams, and there's clearly a very strong political role or political sensitivities that are part of this. And what's happened essentially is the league has been relying on Korn Ferry, the executive search firm that came up with a list of about 40 potential commissioners. And now the NFL has a group of 8 owners who are helping vet some of these people. But as they're doing that, and they're looking for that consensus builder, they're also looking for someone that understands real estate development because that's such a big part of the NFL going forward in
building
and around.
Building stadiums.
Yeah. Making the most out of the surrounding real estate for commercial development and other real estate opportunities. And they're really looking at someone that can further penetrate international markets. And so there are a lot of different elements as to what they're looking for in this commissioner. I think that's why it's taken a while to make sure that they find the right person.
David, I want to switch gears quickly and ask you about the latest developments in the Bonds controversy, Barry Bonds. Federal prosecutors in San Francisco say they're going to convene a new grand jury to hear charges of tax evasion and perjury. There's no end in sight to this steroid scandal. Where does that leave Major League Baseball?
Well, I think it leaves baseball much where it leaves a lot of other sports. Fans don't seem to care. Corporate sponsors seem to have factored that into their decision-making. And the only people that seem to be upset by it or to be affected by it seems to be the government. I think it's very much like the sports industry, very much like the stock market or the price of any individual stock. The likelihood of future news is already factored in. Major League Baseball recently negotiated new TV contracts that are very strong. Their turnstile this year may break another record in terms of the 75 million people that come through the gate. So people have factored it in, and they mind, but they don't mind so much as to compromise their spending on the sport.
David Carter is director of the USC Sports Business Institute. And I'm Tess Vigeland. Enjoy your weekend.
American Public Media.
Imagine the modern corporation.